praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. Today, we're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry, along with some of our own considerations. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, please enjoy today's program.
We have a wonderful and very touching life study today, where we see Jacob at the end of his life, near his departure. Ron Kangas has joined us again to fellowship today about this wonderful life study. And Ron, I'm happy to have you here for this one.
Well, that certainly is a warm greeting. And I want to say sincerely, I'm also happy to be here.
Ron, describing Jacob's spiritual experience throughout his whole life, Witness Lee uses the metaphor of a great runner or a racer, one that started very slowly but finished in a strong and marvelous way. Ron, how does this apply to Jacob?
What we have in Genesis 49 is a view of Jacob's entire life. We view his life from what is now clearly revealed to be a wonderful, glorious, victorious conclusion. What an end. And we evaluate his life as a whole from this perspective. And Brother Lee uses the metaphor, you know, of running a race, of being in what we might call a marathon, even a super marathon. And at the beginning of this race, that is the beginning of Jacob's life, you wonder what kind of end he will have. The beginning was not very encouraging. But from God's point of view, what is important is how we end. And it's a fact, we continue with this metaphor, Jacob kept on running. And when he's lying now, an invalid, on his bed, knowing the end is coming, he is running to the end and has a wonderful end. And this is a picture of what, in New Testament terms, we call an overcomer, a victorious believer, where Paul could say succinctly, I finished the course. I kept the faith. I fought a good fight. But we have here in Genesis 49 is the strong and marvelous finish. And when we consider this, especially as we are advancing in age humanly and by the Lord's grace and mercy are developing spiritually, we look back upon the course of our life. We just have to worship the Lord, thank him for his faithfulness, for his wisdom. And then from our spirit, from deep within, rises the aspiration, Lord, I want to be running this race to the end and have a glorious, victorious end, which in your eyes is the normal end for a mature believer to finish his life.
Thank you, Ron. Let's go to Witness Lee.
Now we have come to the final stage of this wonderful person, Jacob. In the record, he did one thing that bothered nearly all the Bible students. While he was considering his departure, his very beloved son, Joseph, came in. He asked, even he prayed to his son, put your hand under my side. Let's consider what happened in his whole life until after God touched his sight. Two things happened. After he was born on the eighth day, he was circumcised there. That was at the very beginning of his striving life. Then, after about 90 to 95 years, after so much striving, God came in to touch his sight. You should consider two things, circumcision and the divine touch. In the past life study, we have covered both of these two things adequately. If you look into the very deep significance of these two things, you would say they all mean the same thing. To cut off your natural life. After Genesis 15, you know Abraham, he did one thing. Abraham brought in Hagar to fulfill God's promise by his natural strength. And that offended God. That caused God to be away from Abraham for 13 years. Then after 13 years, God came back to tell him, Abraham, you have to realize I am the all-sufficient one. I don't need you to use your natural strength to fulfill what I promise you. You have to do one thing, that is to cut off your natural strength. And from that day, God's covenant of grace became the covenant of circumcision. To inherit God's promise of grace, man's natural strength has to be circumcised. So from the very beginning of your life, you were circumcised. That was an indication of what kind of life Jacob was supposed to be. But eventually, Jacob didn't do that way. After circumcision, you can see how much Jacob strived to inherit God's promise by exercising his strength, by exercising his ability. He was circumcised figuratively, symbolically, but he was not circumcised actually. God came in to touch his sight. Just a little touch. I tell you, this little touch is the actual circumcision. Now he was going to depart, lying on the bed. His strength, natural strength, has been brought to a termination. This was why he asked his son to put his hand under the thigh, indicating that Jacob recognized by this time he had no strength to do anything for himself. What he can do is just to trust in God. He needs God's grace. And God's grace was fully represented, even concentrated on this one man, Joseph. This Joseph was just Christ. Here's a man recognizing that he himself couldn't do anything, but all his trust is in God's grace. And God's grace is just concentrated, focused in this one man, Christ.
Ron, this is an interesting point. Jacob at the end of his physical life and natural strength, but in the fullness of his spiritual maturity, bids his son Joseph to place his hands under his thigh. Help us to understand this picture, Ron.
When we read the conversation between Jacob and Joseph at the very end, we notice that Jacob asked Joseph to place his hands under his, that is Jacob's, thigh. And it's very easy for us just to pass this by. But if any of our listeners would get the printed message in the life study, you'll see there's some substantial space devoted to this. There's the seeking spirit and the one serving the Lord. But what does this mean? Why the thigh? And the basic thought is this. When God took a decisive move one night with Jacob through that wrestling match all night long to expose Jacob's natural strength, then his thigh was touched. The strongest part of his being was touched. And that was the breaking of the outer man, the natural man. And from that point on, he limped. So what was once a kind of symbol of his natural strength, his thigh, was now an indicator that he was fully dependent on the Lord. Remember, Joseph signifies Christ. He places his hands not on Jacob's thigh, but under Jacob's thigh. And this is indicating to Jacob and giving him the assurance that he will be supported to the end by God's grace. He needs this support. He depends absolutely on God's mercy and grace. And Joseph, his son, represents the reigning life. And by Joseph's putting his hands there, it's also an indicator to Jacob, I think, that Joseph will continue this way of living, of trusting in God's mercy and grace.
Thank you, Ron. Let's rejoin our life study.
Humanly speaking, no one likes to die, but Jacob here considered his death not as dying, but as sleeping. In considering death as sleeping, he believed in resurrection. Every sleeper will wake up.
Amen.
This is resurrection. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all will wake up. But the Sadducees, they didn't believe. But the Lord Jesus told the Sadducees that God was called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the God of them is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Surely all the sleepers will rise up. So this picture is really good. He charged Joseph not to bury him in Egypt, but in the Golan, to be together with his people, his fathers. By doing this, we can see Jacob was fully in faith of God's promise. He fully believed one day the Golan, promised by God, will be the very portion, the very inheritance to all his descendants. He believed in this matter not only for himself, but also for his descendants. He told Joseph that someday God will bring you all to that good land, so you must promise me to bury me there, which Joseph did. This shows us he was a man full of faith at the time when he was departing. I do hope that when we will be departing, we will be the ones full of faith. Not the faith in something in vain, but the faith in God's promise. The faith in something promised by God, even in his written word. When we will be departing from this earth, we must depart in faith of God's trustworthy word in his written Bible. This is very good. The record of this man's departure doesn't tell us of his will. The whole Golan was an inheritance. God's promise was the will that Jacob bequeathed to his children. You can see this man's departure was excellent. The record gives us a vivid, pleasant, beautiful picture of his real life situation in the presence of God. He was full of hope. He was filled with faith from the word of God's promise. So he was departing with strong faith. And we all have to realize the life of one man mainly is not decided by the first stage of a man's life. It is mainly decided by the last stage of his life. It is just like on a race. It doesn't matter that you ran so well at the beginning. The final result decides the gain. Wasn't that an excellent departure? The final stage of this wonderful person, Jacob. And this is the way for us to be.
Ron, the point here in this section is a marvelous one for all of us as believers. Jacob's equating death with sleep was surely a sign depicting a man who was full of faith. Comment on this insightful realization of Jacob's.
Now we come to another significant point. And when the divine light shines on us and the word as we study, or if we would just be humble enough to receive help from those who have received such light, we will pause and pay attention to this matter of sleep. Jacob's view of his impending death was that he would sleep. And this indicates at least two significant things. First, it indicates rest. Jacob had a difficult life for so long, and now his part is over. He's entering into rest. There is no sense of fear of death for him. He welcomes entering into this rest. And he, along with Isaac and Abraham, he wanted to be buried in the tomb of Machpelah, resting there. But also, using the word sleep indicates, I will wake up. When we sleep, and we welcome the sleep, and are rested and are refreshed, we wake up. So Jacob's mention of sleep indicates not only rest, it also indicates faith in resurrection. I will be raised up along with all of God's believing people. This was his faith, that as he was facing the end, he was just full of faith, as if he's saying, Lord, you have cared for me all my life long. Now my labor is finished. I enter into rest, but I rest not merely in hope, but in faith that I will be raised from the dead and be in resurrection.
Thanks, Ron. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the last section of today's life study.
It is not a small thing. When a person is dying, he worships God. And he worships God on the head of the bed. In bed means he has no more strength in natural way. His trust was altogether in God, so he worshiped God there. But it is so strange, we cannot tell why the Septuagint translates this phrase into what? Upon the top of his staff. And Hebrew 11, Paul there quoted not the Hebrew text, but the Septuagint text. While Jacob was dying, he worshiped God upon the top of his staff. Very meaningful. Grammatically, language-wise, no one can tell what was the reason. The Septuagint version rendered this way. But spiritual speaking is very, very meaningful. Because the bed signifies no more human strength. But the staff signifies he was a person full of experience of God in his whole life. You know, in chapter 32, verse 10, Jacob said something like this. I walked by this staff, crossing this river, such and such. And eventually now, I become such and such. I tell you, the staff is a symbol of his sojourning life. In his sojourning life, God was always there. Right now, he's worshiping God in bed, signifying there was no more strength on the one hand. At the same time, he couldn't forget the very God whom he worshipped, the one who shepherded him all the time. His worship to God was not without any personal experience. He has fully experienced God in his sojourning life. It's quite meaningful. I do hope when we will be departing from this earth, we could do the same kind of worship. Not worshiping God whom we have no experience of. But we will worship our God of whom in our whole life we have a lot of experiences. We will worship the very God whom we have experienced while we are sojourning on this earth. It is quite meaningful. That staff was there signifying he had been all the time under God's shepherding. That staff also indicates that he recognized that he was not settled on this earth. He was a sojourner, traveling through this earth. According to Hebrews 11, we are told that he died in faith, expecting someday to enter into that city. Now this man, dying, worshiped God in bed and on the top of his staff, indicating his natural strength was all gone. Amen. And he was one sojourning on this earth without any settlement, and God had been all the time shepherding him. So now he was worshiping God. I love this departure because this is a normal departure of one of God's children on this earth. No sadness ever beat is so pleasant. Ever beat is so encouraging. I would say, Lord, give me the grace that I would never fear death. When death comes under your arrangement, I'll take it as Jacob did. And this man, Jacob, was mature in life, so he departed in such an excellent way.
Ron, this parting scene of Jacob's is full of experience and really absent teaching and doctrine. Let me just throw out a couple of the items and let you fill in the details of this marvelous section of God's Word. Jacob, at the end of his life, was worshiping the God he experienced. He was in his bed, and he was on his staff.
I'll do my best to say something helpful of the end of Jacob's life. Worshiping the God he experienced. He was on his bed, and he was on his staff. He worshiping the God he experienced. This is not doctrinal worship, formal worship of a God who is merely objective to us. But Jacob came to know God, to experience God. And he worshiped the God he experienced. And he did this while on his bed, indicating a few things, that he has no more natural strength, but he trusts in God and in his grace, that he is preparing for the end in peace, that he is resting on the Lord. But I'm especially touched by his placing his hands on his staff. And as some other verses say in the New Testament, he worshiped the Lord with his hands on his staff. And the staff indicates the guidance of the Lord as a shepherd. Jacob's whole life was a journey. And when he worshiped God, he worshiped him as the one who shepherded him throughout his entire life, from beginning until this point. The shepherd with his staff was there. And this staff signifies the entire course of Jacob's life that progressed under the Lord's shepherding care. What a wonderful testimony that our God is such a staff-holding, shepherding God. And also, it is a testimony of our realization that our whole life was a journey, but through every stage, in every situation, in every matter, joy or sorrow, the Lord, the shepherd with his staff, was there. May we be touched by this, so that when we reach the end of our course, we will worship the Lord, rest our whole being on him, and lean on the staff, thanking him, praising him for his faithful shepherding our whole life long. This is God. This is the God of Jacob. May this God, experientially, be our God.
Thank you, Ron, for your fellowship today. And thank you for listening. We'd like to invite you to contact us at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. On behalf of Ron Kangas, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.
We hope you enjoyed this program. For more information on Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, please visit our website, lsm.org. Again, that's lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.